Class in life called Valley 101. And in this class, you can't be tardy for it. You can't skip it. You must, when you wake up, you're in class. When you go to sleep, you're just taking a break. But when you wake up again, you have to meet the professor called Valley. And today, if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, very familiar passage, 1 Kings chapter 17, and as you're turning, God gave me a definition of what the valley means. And I came up with this definition the best I could to describe what a valley is. All of us in this world, if you keep living, you will face the valley of your life. There are many ebbs and flows and dips and crests of waves in the ocean. But as the Christian, you will have ups and you will have downs. You will have good days and you will have some not so good days. You have some days where you have full of energy and full of praise coming out your lips, and there will be days where you are fatigued. There will be days where you are praising God and days where you are not praising God. But the blessing is the valley always rests in between two mountaintops. When there is a valley, there has to be a mountain. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Y'all didn't catch that. If you are in a valley today, rest assured that there is a mountain close by. A valley is a place in a person's life, well, I would like to say a believer's life, but just like it rains on the just and the unjust, also there's a drought for unbelievers and there's drought for believers. But a valley is a place in a person's life that is caused by an event or group of circumstances that may or may not be the result or outcome of our choices. Some of us are born into a valley. It wasn't our fault. We were just born in it. We got to deal with it. Play the cards that we were dealt. Amen. It is a place of spiritual, financial, health, or emotional drought. The valley is oftentimes characterized as a lonely, dark place. In addition, it is a place where God is oftentimes silent and not moving as we would like for him to move. How many of us know that we serve a way-making God? We serve a God that sits high and he looks low. We serve a God that can open up doors no man can open and shut doors no man can close. But sometimes when you're in your valley, all you have is your knowledge of God. All you have is the voice of God, the word of God, but no movement of God. If you ask Job, Job had a valley, 40 chapters worth of valley. He would question God and call out to God, yet God would not say a mumbling word to Job. See, I think we get this thing mixed up. In Hebrews, I believe, chapter 5, verse 13, the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that is talking about the presence of God. But the presence of God does not mean he will always speak to you. See, many of us think that God will always answer us and speak to us and commune with us. But sometimes he will go silent. But I want to encourage all of us who may be in the valley today that even though God may be silent, he's still there. And as long as you know that he's still there in your valley, you will get out. Oh, I don't think you heard me. You will get out. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know you will. Let's look at the scriptures together and let the word of God speak to us. Lessons from the valley. This is just part one. I have so many other lessons, but I couldn't cover them, so I had to break them up. So this we'll just talk about the first lesson. This is lesson one of the valley. We have 1 Kings 17, say amen. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, and before whom I stand. Is it all right if I teach this morning? Is it all right if I take my time this morning? Pay attention to these two statements he made in this one sentence. First of all, the word Elijah in the Hebrew means, my God is Lord. My God is Lord. All right? Now, he says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives. God is eternal. God cannot die. So as long as God lives, and before whom I what? Stand. Whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're deep in the valley, you are always standing before God. And as long as God lives, you will always have to stand before him. This is why God says his eyes are in every place. Because no matter whether you accept him or reject him, you are always standing in front of God. You are always in the presence of his sight. Whether you're doing righteous or whether you're doing wrong. Whether you're committing a crime or whether you're helping somebody get converted. You are always under the beaming eye of God Almighty. This is a very important truth. Now, this also lends us to understand that whenever God lives, there's always power. So as long as God lives, I have access to supernatural power in my valley experience. But because God can't die, that means I will always have access to power, even though I don't always have access to his voice. Y'all didn't catch that. You always have access to God because he always lives. But you don't always have access to his voice. Because he doesn't always speak to us like he used to speak to us, or that he might speak to us. David, clearly in the book of Psalms, will always say, Lord, why have you hidden your face from me? Lord, speak to me. Hear my prayer. Allow my prayers to fall on your ears. Now, sometimes because of sin, God won't hear us. But it's not always because of sin. Sometimes God will test us and try us just to see that, hey, I will go 3 years, 3 months, and I never speak to you the way you're used to me speaking to you. And I want to see if you're going to move away from me. Have anybody ever been there before? Are you with me? He says, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, all right, now this is the first point. I have 3 points for you. Are you ready for the first point? In the valley, God will oftentimes strip us of depending on anything but him. See, the valley is a different place. The valley is a different place. You will be stripped in every area of your life, stripped down to the bare bones, to see how much you trust God. Are y'all with me? All right. Let's look at the first point in the scriptures. It says, go away from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. This is about 50 to 100 miles away from where Jezebel was. It shall be that you will drink from the brook. Let the church say brook. That, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the what? The word of the Lord. For he went and lived. Let the church say live. Okay, the scholars assert that Elijah spent at least a full calendar year in this place called Cherith. Okay, this wasn't the Marriott Hotel. This was the wilderness. Okay? He didn't have a continental breakfast or a buffet dinner. See, the valley would make you change your diet. Your appetite will change in the valley if you want to make it. Now, catch this. Here it is. You have a man of God that is obedient to the word of God. He does what God tells him to do to the letter, and yet, as a consequence, he gets thrown into a valley. See, obedience will sometimes lead you into a prison. Obedience will sometimes be the doorway to a valley. So he goes to Cherith where God told him to go. Now, he didn't say, go to Cherith and there will be a person there with a nice house that's going to allow you to live with them. And they're going to minister to you and you're going to minister to them. He said, no, there's not going to be anybody there. You're going to be by yourself, Elijah. And you're going to go to this brook and you're going to have to take your hands and cup your hands to drink water. So you're not even going to have a cup to drink out of. And how am I going to eat, Lord? I'm going to choose ravens to bring you food and bread. Let's look at the word. Where did we stop? Verse 6, 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived at the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. Let the church say the ravens. The ravens brought him what? Bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that his brook dried up. But before we get to the dried up brook, let's talk about the raven. Let me give you a little bit. I did some research on the raven. Raven is like a crow. Y'all ever seen a crow? Okay. In the Levitical laws, a raven was considered, in the Mosaic laws, a detestable bird. The Israelites were forbidden to eat the flesh of a raven because a raven is an omnivore. An omni means all, meaning that it eats anything. A raven is a scavenger bird. Ravens eat carrion. And what carrion is putrefied, rotten flesh. They normally eat mice, rats, rodents, worms, but their main diet is putrefied, rotten, decaying flesh. So you have a man of God who's a Hebrew, an Israelite, who cannot touch a dirty, detestable bird, but God uses something that's dirty and, God uses what's considered detestable and unclean to feed the man of God. See, God had to change Elijah's diet and perspective, but he also had to change the raven's diet to be used by the Lord God Almighty. But see, God controls all things. So God told the raven, "Raven, I know I designed you to be heaven's garbage collector, but I have someone who's in a valley right now who serves me, and because I'm going to be his Jehovah Jireh, his provider, you will temporarily for an entire year change your diet, and you're going to bring him like a clock to, you're going to bring him bread, you're going to bring him meat in the morning, and you're going to bring him bread, and you're going to bring him meat in the evenings." Don't tell me what God can't do and who God can't use. Has anyone called you unclean or detestable? You could be the perfect candidate to be used to bless somebody else. Is anybody with me? So Elijah is stripped of all the luxuries of life. He's stripped of even being able to feed himself. He has to depend on a bird that he cannot communicate with. Think about it. It's one thing for a person to bring you food in the morning and food in the afternoon. But how do you communicate with a bird? See, God shut off any possibility for man to get glory in this miraculous feat. See, God will oftentimes strip us so he can set us up so we can only see God in our valley. See, the valley has lessons, but it has benefits. See, the valley does not show that God is not there. It proves that he is. Oh, y'all not walking with me. The valley's purpose is to show you who God really is. Because if that raven didn't come for 3 days, Elijah would have died. See, the human body can't go 3 days without food. 3 days without water. Okay? So the brook had to keep flowing to feed him drink. The ravens had to keep coming. all right, to feed him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the afternoon, two meals a day. But he was stripped down to strip off any scales that he may have had to train him that God is all you need. I want to tell us something today, saints. God is all you need. I know things may not be going right. I know things may be dark. I know things may be dreary. But as long as you got King Jesus, he will sustain you. See, we go through different seasons in our lives. All of us have had times of prosperity, times where money wasn't an issue, times when, hey, if it was a bill, I could pay it, no sweat. But then there are seasons of lean times, times where you don't have enough money to pay. You're robbing the whole, all of the 12 disciples, not just robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're robbing everybody, even robbing the Pharisees and Sadducees. But you have seasons of your life of drought and seasons of valley times. But in those valley times, God said, don't look at me to prosper you. Look at me to sustain you. Give me one more day. Y'all not walking with me? Let's look at the second lesson, second point, and lessons from the valley. What was the first lesson? The valley will, God will strip you of depending on anything but him. Amen. The second point is, in the valley, God will introduce you to those who need your faith to overcome their fears. Let me say this again. In the valley, God will introduce you to others who need your faith to help them overcome their fears. Now, you don't have to put your hand up. I'll put your hand up for you. There are two things you have in the human condition. We all have insecurities. You don't have to say amen. We all got them. They come from childhood. And we all have fears. Now, if you don't have any ounce of fear of something, you're not human. All right? But faith overcomes fear. So let's look at verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up. Because there was no what? Rain in the land. Verse 8 says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So Elijah is graduating from depending on an animal, a bird of the air, to provide for him, to now a widow who does not know who Jehovah is at this point in the story. She was an unbeliever at this time. Y'all gotta walk with me on this. See, sometimes God would not always use a Christian as an instrument of your deliverance. But your faith must remain constant in any condition. Because your relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. Paul said, I've learned to have a lot, and I've learned to have little. But in all my learning, I learned to be content in whatsoever state I find myself in. So Elijah had to go through a spiritual boot camp of trusting God with nothing but his hands and a bird. And when God saw that he passed that lesson, now I'm going to take you to another lesson. Go to Zarephath. Now, if you don't know where Zarephath is, in the chapter 16 of 1 Kings, he stood before King Ahab, who was worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth, and he told Ahab, because of your wickedness and because you've caused God's people to turn away from God, it will not rain until I say it's going to rain. Well, he became public enemy number one once he said that. Jezebel had a hit out on Elijah this entire, from the time he said that until she died. She wanted him dead. So he fled after he did what God told him to do. But he fled away from the evil people. Now, if you're trying to, I tell kids all the time, I say, if a house is on fire, you don't run towards the fire, you run away from the fire. Because, you know, when kids want to fight in high school, everybody want to go rush to the fight. And I say, look, you may rush into something and you end up getting hit, you end up getting cut, you end up getting shot. Something can happen because you're so busy running towards ignorance and foolery. So the goal is, when you see something brewing, and everybody knowing somebody about to throw down, you just feel it in the air. You know, when you see these guys drop their book bags and posturing, and they're ready to go for blows, you don't need to take your phone out and record it and say, world star. You don't need to do that. Some of y'all young folk know what I mean when I say that. You get away from the situation. Because a bullet doesn't have a name on it. But Zarephath is going back closer to where Jezebel was. So it's like, hold on, God. You told me to flee and go to Cherith, where the brook was. Now, I get that because I'm going away from Jezebel. But now when my brook dries up, you tell me to go back to where I'm running from? Does that sound familiar? What did Moses do? Moses killed an Egyptian that was bothering a Hebrew. And then he saw two Hebrew brothers arguing. And they said, hey, are you going to do with us what you did with the Egyptian? So Moses knew that the word had got out that he murdered an Egyptian. What did Moses do? He ran to Midian, which was a what? Desert. And he stayed there for 40 years. But God took him to a desert. See, let me explain something to us. If you find yourself in a valley, if you find yourself in a drought, if you find yourself in a desert, that is a place of preparation. The desert is a place of preparation. It's not happening just because God doesn't like you. It's happening because he loves you. So Moses goes to Midian for 40 years, and then he encounters a burning bush. And this burning bush tells him, I am who I am. And then the burning bush says, go back. Go back. Yeah, go back and tell him I sent you. So Elijah is being sent back closer to the place he fled from, Zarephath. Amen. And he says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Provide for you. Jehovah Jireh means what? The Lord my. Amen. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. Gathering sticks. Let the church say sticks. Okay. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord, what? Your God lives. See, this is an indication that she didn't believe in the same God Elijah believed in. Because she would have said, as the Lord our God lives. But she used the term, as the Lord your God lives. That's your God, not mine. Okay? As the Lord your God lives. All right? She said, I have no bread. Only a handful, I want everybody to cup their hands like this, a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in the jar. Behold, I am gathering a few sticks, let the church say sticks, that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Let's talk about sticks. Where do sticks come from? trees. Sometimes in your valley, God will only show you sticks. And that's all he's going to show you is a bunch of sticks. But you have to understand, where there's a stick, there's a tree. Psalm says, he plants a man by the rivers of water, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, as long as they're a tree, I don't care about the sticks. See, God, the widow had the resources, the sticks, the flour, and the oil. But God was the tree that provided long-lasting, sustaining power. So when God shows you sticks, understand there's a tree somewhere. But God may not show you the tree until you first pick up the sticks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, let me say that again. I think that went over your heads. God won't show you the tree until you're willing to pick up the sticks. How can you preach if you're not willing to teach Sunday school? People will look at me and say, man, he's preaching now. And I'm just pretty sure he just asked his dad, could he preach? And his dad just threw him in the pulpit. No. I picked up a lot of sticks before I got to this tree. Me and Steve would do men's ministry for years. Three people would show up. Alvin would show up. Curtis would show up. Few people. There was a lot of sticks I had to pick up before you see me here. Oh, y'all not walking with me? I had to teach Sunday school, other things, you know, work in the sound booth, cut the grass. I mean, power wash the sound. There are a lot of sticks that you don't see. And see, what's happening is everybody wants to be a tree without first understanding and managing sticks. No sticks, no tree. This widow was picking up sticks. Now, these sticks were disconnected from a tree. So that means these sticks had no nourishment in and of themselves. But sometimes the nourishment is not in the sticks, but just in the presence of the sticks, that nourishment is close by. Is anybody with me? She said, I'm going to pick up these sticks, make this bread, and then me and my son going to die. So now Elijah is not the only one in the valley. This lady is first described as a widow, meaning that she lost her husband. And in this day and time, the husband really was the breadwinner. No pun intended, because he's asking for bread. She had to win the bread because the breadwinner had died. So now she has a son, and back in this day, if you had debts, they will come and take your children to help pay off a debt. So this lady had a bunch of pressure on her. She had a lot of frustration in her mind, and now we see depression because it's like, I don't really expect nothing but to die. All of my resources have run dry. But because Elijah had been trained by the brook, he was able to minister to her with the sticks. See, the valley that you go through is not just for you. The training that you go through is not just for you. The testimony that you have is never for you. How many of you ever seen an apple tree consuming its own apples? No, the apples are for the person who walks by and says, wow, there's some pretty red apples. I'm hungry. Let me pull a fruit from this tree so I can be nourished from what the tree is producing. The fruit is never for the tree. It's for those who come close to the tree to be fed. Amen. Your pain is like fruit. Your valley is like fruit. The hard times that you went through is fruit. But it's not for you to consume. It's for somebody else to eat from it and learn from it and be encouraged from it and be empowered from it so they can see one more day. He says, get me a little water. Now, I don't like to rush over just words. He didn't say, get me a gallon of water because I'm thirsty and it's hot out here. We know it was a drought, so we know everybody was thirsty. Animals were dying because they couldn't get drink. He said, get me a little water. Why did he ask for a little water? Because you can only hold enough in your hand. He was already trained to survive off of just a little. See, sometimes God will strip us just so we can learn how to survive just off of a little. She says, we're going to die. So my third point, after he encounters this girl, this lady, in the valley, you have to change your expectations while maintaining your anticipation. Let me say that again. When you're going through a valley in your life, you have to change your expectations while maintaining anticipation. Now, let me break that down. A lot of times we use expectations and anticipation interchangeably. They're not the same. Expectation is the how. Anticipation is when. I don't know how God's going to get me out of this, but I know he will. Y'all ain't catch that. See, the valley will strip you so much. Your expectations are on life support. But it's not about your expectations while you're in the valley. It's about your anticipation. I don't know when Christ is coming back, but I'm looking for him to come back. That's anticipation. I don't know how God is going to bless me, but I know he's able to do above and exceedingly beyond whatsoever I ask or think. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this vice in my life, but I know I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I don't know how he's going to get these demons out of my life, but I know greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm speaking in a dual way. Sometimes when you're in the valley, you don't have any more expectations. That doesn't mean you are negative. Doesn't mean you're a pessimist. It just means you've been so fatigued through the pain and through not having anything that you get down to the bare minimum of I'm just anticipating. I'm no longer expecting, but I'm anticipating. Because God's presence is with me. Is anybody with me? Let's look at verse 13. The lady says, me and my son are going to die. And catch this. He says here, then Elijah said to her, do not what? Now, he couldn't say do not fear if he didn't speak in faith. Faith overpowers fear. I didn't say it completely removes it. It overpowers it. Do not fear. Go. Do as you have said. But catch this now. This doesn't make sense. But make me a little bread cake from it first. And bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted. nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Now let's dissect this for a second. Is that all right? Let's go back to 13. Let's go back to 13. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake first." Now, first of all, this lady is a widow. Let's break this down to the nuances. Meaning that she had a husband. And here comes this strange man I know nothing about telling me to serve him. He lost his mind. I don't know you from Adam. I don't know if you are a robber or a thief. I don't know if you're a false teacher or prophet. And you talking to me as if I'm your wife. Make you something first? Did you not just hear what I said? I have a handful of flour in this bowl. It's not even enough for me, man. And you telling me to take that handful and stretch it for me, you, and my son? And I don't even know you? So this woman had to have a level of faith. Now, it's something I'm learning about God. God seems to dwell in limitations. Oh, y'all, some of y'all caught that. He seems to wait till the fourth quarter. Wait till the 10th round. Wait till the bottom of the ninth. He seems to wait to the very end where all hope is lost before he shows up. He seems to wait till you're in the fiery furnace and it's been turned up seven times hotter than it ought to be. He seems to wait until something has died and has been dead for 4 days before he shows up to the mouth of the tomb. Is anybody with me in here? See, that's the type of God you serve. So don't look for God at the mountaintops of your life. Don't look for God when everything is smooth sailing. Look for God when you're in your valley. Look for God when your well runs dry. Look for God when your brook dries up. Look for God when the bill comes back too high that you can pay. Look for God when the doctor's report doesn't come back right. That's when God likes to show up. That's when he likes to show up. Because he alone wants the glory. He said, "You will serve no other gods before me." Is anybody with me? He said, "This bowl of flour would not be exhausted." Now notice he didn't say he would fill the bowl up. You will not read in this text that he would fill it up where it's overflowing. He just said it won't be exhausted. So basically, whatever you had, you'll just keep having that. But having that every day without it being exhausted is just like having a full bowl. See, you don't need a full bank account. You don't need a full right mind. All you need is just enough. And on that just enough, he'll take you where you need to go. Because a little in God's hands. Oh, y'all not with me. God don't need a whole lot. Just ask Jesus when there was 5,000 men not including the women and children. He said, how are we going to feed these Peter? He said, how are we going to feed these people? We got two fish and five loaves of bread. Now that two fish and five loaves of bread didn't come from an adult. It came from a kid. How many of us know that a kid's stomach is not as big as an adult's stomach? That means that the portion, although it was the same in numerical, in the numerical equation, it was still a smaller version of what an adult would eat. If you go to McDonald's, you have Happy Meals. And a Happy Meal is a miniature size of an adult meal. It's not biggie size, it's not super size. It is a Happy Meal, just enough to make you happy. When God gets a hold of the little that you have, it's just enough to make you happy. And I'm happy in Jesus when I don't have but just a handful. When I got a handful of praise. When I got a handful of peace of mind. When I got a handful of encouragement. When I have a handful of trust. When I have a handful of intelligence. That's all God needs. He will not allow it to be exhausted. Many of us, including myself, were looking for gallons and gallons of blessing. There's nothing wrong with getting that. But if you're in the valley, you got to change your diet. When you're in the valley, you better start focusing on the sticks and stop looking for the tree. When you're in the valley. When you're in the valley, you just got a little bit of oil. How many of you ever tried to fry some chicken and you look in the pantry and you only see like, oh man, it's 10 o'clock at night. I thought I had more oil. But then there's something called pan frying. You expected deep frying. But that's enough oil to pan fry. And if you ever had pan fried chicken, it tastes better, especially when you're hungry, than deep fried chicken. Because some fried chicken is better than no fried chicken. Some blessings is better than no blessings. Some peace of mind is better than no peace of mind. Some encouragement is better than no encouragement. Y'all ain't walking with me. Stop focusing on how miniature and how minuscule you have. As long as you got something, you got all you need with Jesus. I got one more day. One more day to say God is good. I got one more day. One more day to say, Lord, I know you're with me. I don't like the situation. Can we be real? I hate the situation. But as long as I got one more day and I got a little to be thankful for, that's going to not be exhausted. And that's going to give me everything I need to get to the next day. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and her household ate many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Last thing I want to touch on, I'm going back to the sticks on this last point. Do you know why she was gathering sticks? Because you need sticks to make a fire. No fire, no cooked food. So look at the miracle of the sticks. God had to keep providing the sticks. Because last time I checked, if you set some sticks on fire, you can't use those sticks anymore. So God not only kept the flour and oil from exhausting, he kept the sticks readily available for her and Elijah to gather up to even make fire to make the flour of the food and the bread to eat. That's the God you serve. Don't be so quick to throw the sticks away. Don't be so quick to count yourself out. But be quick to count on God. Let me say that again. Don't be so quick to count yourself out because you're running on empty. You're running on fumes. Just count on God. And when you count on God, he won't count you out. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Father God, for showing us through your manservant, Elijah. He had to have a lot of faith before he could help that widow overcome her fear. Lessons from the valley. I want to